or if it's on your phone or something else, turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and then we're going to read some scripture. I'd like us to stand to our feet as we read, please, just to honor the word of God. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning as we read your word. We believe all scripture is inspired by God. It's all God-breathed. Whatever accent we speak it in, it's still breathed by you, Lord God. And we thank you as we read your scriptures now, life will come to us. Whatever's happened this week, whatever's gone on this week, I thank you the life of God comes as we read your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. I don't believe we have that on our screen, but we'll figure it out. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled. Can you all say filled? Okay. Let's try a little more passion, okay? Everyone say filled. It filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. In the next few verses, Some criticism is made against these believers, and then Peter gets up and preaches an iconic message. But we're going to skip all of that, and we're going to run all the way down to verse 41. And in verse 41, it says this: those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. And then skimming down to verse 47. All the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of the people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You can sit down. I love this story because there is a shivering group of believers. They're not filled with a whole lot of faith, but they know something's going to happen. And they're in a room, hiding away from everyone else, and suddenly the Holy Spirit comes and it fills the room, and then the Holy Spirit comes and fills them individually. And I'm sure we're all familiar with this Pentecost story, the filling of the room and the filling of the people. But then something happens that we often miss, and that is when God filled the room and filled his people, the next thing that happened was overflow. God kept on filling. It started with a few in a room, and by the end of the day, there were over 3,000. That's not filling, that's overflowing. The room that they were in could not face and could not take 3,000 people. This room could probably take 120 people. That would be filled. But if 3,000 turned up, that would be overflow. And I want to talk today, I want to share today about overflow. Because I've got a feeling most of you are filled with something, right? Brent, would you stand up, please? This is a daily occurrence. You walk through life, and this happens. Oh. And then you walk through life again. Come towards me. And this happens. We spend our days, thank you, sir, appreciate it. That was it, easy. We spend our lives walking through life, bumping into situations and bumping into people. What's in your cup, Susan? Coffee. Or as some of you here say, coffee. It's actually coffee, okay? If Susan's walking along here, and I bump into her, what's going to spill out of her cup? Coffee. Why? Because it's filled with coffee. Darlene, what's in your cup? Water. Notice she doesn't say water. Because there's no D in that word. It's not W-A-D-A, water. It's W-A-T-E-R, water. Okay? If you bump into Darlene while she's walking with her cup of water, what's going to come out of her cup? Water. You see, whatever is in you, if I bump into you, or if somebody bumps into you, whatever in you is going to come out of you. Now, we have 90 minutes here today, right? About approximately. That's about how much time we spend at church, 90 minutes. And you guys are really well behaved during this 90 minutes. I know if I bump into one of you, and I'm not talking physical bumping, but if I say something that offends you theologically, you might say, oh, well, bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Because for 90 minutes, you can control what spills out because you're well practiced at it. You've been coming here long enough that you know that you can't cuss in this room, or at least you shouldn't. And you can't punch somebody in this room, or at least you shouldn't. Here's the challenge we face, though. Our week is not made up of 90 minutes. Our week is made up of 9,990 minutes. Now, approximately 2,520 of those minutes, you'll spend sleeping, assuming you sleep 6 hours a night. So if you take that off and the other 90 minutes off, you're still left with 7,470 minutes a week where situations and people and irritations bump into you all week. The question is, what happens during those interactions, those bumpings? Those of you who have got to know me at any measure will know that one of my greatest passions outside of my family and my God is the English Premier League. Known here as soccer, known around the rest of the world as football. And by the way, let me address this. It's not football. Okay? That is totally Americanization of something that everyone else in the world says football. Anyway, this year, my team had a marvelous year. They won the English Premier League. I was so happy. Malachi's team came fourth or fifth. He was happy with that. Okay, that's okay. I was watching a game just the other week. They beat Tottenham Hotspur. My team's Liverpool. They beat Tottenham Hotspur 5-1. And it was such an enthralling game. I got my cup and I was standing at the fridge. And if you've been to my home, you can see, you can be in the kitchen and see the TV at the same time. And I had my cup up against the water dispenser. And it was a very important moment. And I knew when my cup would be filled. So I know like about 12 and a half seconds and I'll move it out the way. I've got a full cup of water. But I got distracted. And I'm standing there and my cup is filled up. And before I know it, my arm and my hand is soaking wet and there's water all over the floor. What happened? I got distracted and my cup overflowed. The moment that happened, I felt a nudge of the Lord that whatever you're filled with is what will overflow at critical moments. And I want to talk about that this morning because there is a beauty in the overflow. We see overflow as messy. I had to then get a paper towel and clean up the mess and wipe my arm down. And then, of course, the stainless steel refrigerator had the water, so I had to clean that up. It was a pain to me. But the reality is the mess of the overflow is actually tremendously beautiful. And the mess of your overflow, when you get bumped into, when overflow happens, it should be a beautiful thing. You weren't created to be half full, you know that? You weren't created to have stagnant water in you. You've been designed as vessels of God to overflow. But here's the thing. Day-to-day life, you can overflow with faith or you can overflow with fear. How about when you're driving? You could overflow someone. You're driving down 521 and someone cuts in front of you and then they go real slow. Right. Are you going to overflow with the love of God or are you going to overflow with anger? That's the deal, though. At that moment, that tells you what's in the vessel. Because what comes out here today, that's not relevant. Because you know to be on your best behavior. What comes out when that guy pulls in front of you and then slows down, that tells you what's in the vessel. Is there love or anger? I'm going to talk about tithing a little later on. Oh boy. Well, brother, I don't believe in tithing. That's okay. I do. I got a microphone. But you can overflow with generosity or you can overflow with stinginess. It's totally up to you. But an overflow is evident of what's in there. You can overflow in situations with either kindness or meanness, with grace or opinion. That's a big one in a church. Are you going to overflow when I say something this morning you disagree with, right? And I will, because I'm English, and we tend to do that sometimes. That's why you try to whoop our rear ends and kick us out. We're back, baby. I'm just kidding, right? I'm just joking. Pastor John, please don't ask that guy to preach ever again. You see, we've got a choice. When I give an opinion or a teaching on something, you disagree with it, what's your response going to be? Is it going to be, well, brother, you and I have a different opinion on that. Can we talk about it over coffee? Let's learn from each other. That's a grace response, a grace overflow. Or you can start texting your friends, this guy's got his theology totally screwed up. I knew those English people didn't understand what they were talking about. Only John Wesley, he's the only one. The rest of them, and Spurgeon and a few others. You can overflow with grace, with hope or with despair. When situations come that aren't favorable, sometimes our natural response is, oh my goodness, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to pay this bill? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's the hope that comes out. If you're not, despair comes out. The list goes on, but we have a choice to make. We can choose what we allow ourselves to be filled with, but that will determine what overflows us. So I'm going to ask you the question. When you get bumped into, whether it be lunchtime today, your first few hours of work tomorrow, partway through the week, and not a physical bump, when something rubs against you and hits you the wrong way, what is going to overflow? Because the reality is, Sunday morning is not a measure or an expression of your true maturity. Our true maturity is expressed when something bumps into us during the week time. Our response in the car, our response in the supermarket. Do you know how many times on a Thursday in Harris Teeter, I've had the back of my ankles rammed by people with their carts? That's when you know what's in me. Because that's one of those things that it gets my goat a little bit. So I'd like to share this morning five of the overflow blessings that come when we allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit and we allow the overflow to be things of the kingdom. I want to give a disclaimer here, though, because I'm going to talk about the blessings, the what we see as the good blessings, the nice ones. However, every coin has two sides, right? Otherwise, it would be unfair when you have that coin flip at the beginning of a game. Growth of plants needs sun and rain, right? A good landscape has hills and valleys, right? And you see, the blessings of God are found in both the easy and the challenging. And the goodness of God is found both in the joy and in the pain. And the mercy of God is found both in the celebration and the weeping. Now, this morning, I'm not going to talk about the challenges and the pain and the weeping, but I want you to know I truly believe that there is as much blessing that can be found in weeping and challenges and pain and suffering and loss and wounds. There's as much blessing of God that can be found in those places as can be found in the places of what we generally call blessings, the positive things that happen. Okay, that's my disclaimer, but this morning I'd like to share about some of the positive blessings that come when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and we overflow His Holy Spirit rather than overflowing the carnality of the world and the things of the flesh. Amen? Okay, here we go. Five overflow blessings. Number one, overflow blessing number one, there is a blessing of provision. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. It says there, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The threshing floor will be full of grain and the vats will overflow with new wine and oil, it says in Joel chapter 2. You see, the Father's desire, God's desire for you and for me is that we overflow in every area of our lives. And in these verses, there are three realms of overflow. Number one, the grain speaks of our physical and financial blessings, the physical needs for life. When we're full of Him, there's a promise here that those physical needs will be met. The wine speaks of the joy of life. That's our emotional blessing. Now, you might not like it that wine speaks of joy because your tradition may have taught you something else about wine. That's okay. You go to God with that. Don't get upset with me. Have you keep your opinion. Let's not fall out about it. But right here in Scripture, the wine speaks of joy. It speaks of emotional blessing. And then the oil speaks of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So right in these points here, we've got physical blessing, emotional blessing, and spiritual blessing. The barns, the grain, the wine, and the oil. And as we honor God, it says right here, we'll see an increase, even an overflow, a triple overflow that includes all of these things. So ask yourself the question, am I overflowing with joy? If not, then let's get you refilled. Am I overflowing with the presence of the Lord, with who He is? Well, not all the time. Because yesterday, this person called me and said something mean, and you don't want to hear what I said back to them. But there's an overflow blessing, and it's the blessing of provision, God's provision. Provision in the physical realm, provision in the emotional realm, provision in the spiritual realm. A triple overflow that will touch who you are, body, soul, and spirit. Overflow blessing number two. Now, let's preface this by saying the word I'm going to use has been abused a lot in the body of Christ. But it's the blessing of prosperity. Now, those of you who are 40 years or older, if I asked you to maybe define prosperity, you might go back to some of your particular teachings you've heard in the past with that are very one-dimensional. Let me show you what prosperity really is in the Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 11, 12, and 13 talk about prosperity. There's lots of verses that do, but I like this one because it encapsulates things. It says, "The Lord will make you abound in prosperity." But there's not a period and then a dollar sign right there. Comma, in the offspring of your body. In other words, prosperity will touch your marriage and your children. In the offspring of your beasts. This talks about our business and our investments. There's prosperity right there. You want your marriage and your children to prosper. You want your business and your investments to prosper. That's what it's talking about here. In the produce of your ground, that talks of your income. That which you grow and it grows and bears fruit 30, 60, 100 fold in the produce of your ground. And in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. This speaks of your property. The Lord will open for you His good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain in your land in its seasons and to bless all the works of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not be the borrower. Let me tell you this. Overflow has a lot of enemies. And one, man, I'm about to step on some toes now, but one of the enemies of overflow is debt. Debt is one of the biggest blockers of overflow. Not the only blocker, not the only enemy, but one of the biggest blockers of overflow that I've come across. And I would encourage each one of you, I'm not going to teach on this today, it's a different sermon for a different day. If you can avoid debt, please do. Because debt is the trap of the world. Here's how the trap works. You're not asked, can you afford this item? You're asked, can you afford the payment? You go to a car dealership because you need a car for work. We all do. And when you say, I want to look at a car at this price point, the salesman will always say, well, what payment are you looking for? Well, it's a trap that's being set for you. Well, we could actually put you in this real high fancy sports car right here. And I'll tell you, you'd look real good in that sports car. You would look so sharp in that sports. And I've got it in red, blue, green, orange, gold. Gold sports car. It's a bit extra money. It puts the payment up a bit more. But I've run the numbers. I think you can afford that payment. That is the trap of the world. You go to Ashley Furniture. Well, I could buy a couch and a love seat. I could buy a new king-size bed. I could buy the armoire, all these different things, and I can afford the payment. Suddenly, you got two payments. What you've got is a noose, two nooses around your neck. And then you have to go shopping. And you realize, because you made those payments, you don't have enough for the groceries. So what do we get out? Oh, plastic fantastic. Hey, I just got my limit increased. My limit was this, and now it's this. I feel good. They make you feel good about giving you more debt. We just increased your debt ability by this many $1,000s. It's a trap. And I tell you, debt is one of the biggest destroyers, biggest enemies of overflow that there is. I understand that there are many in this room, you're probably in debt right now. One of my favorite adverts, I don't even remember what it was for. It must have been a bad advert. It was about, there's a man driving on a ride on lawnmower, and he's talking about all the things he's got. He says, I've got a beautiful house, and I've got an incredible car parked in my driveway. It's brand new, don't you know? And I'm driving on my ride on lawnmower, the smile on my face, but I'm in debt to my eyeballs. Will somebody please help me? The point being that debt will destroy you. The scripture tells us right here. You shall lend money to nations, but you shall not borrow. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only will be above, you won't be underneath, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully. The key here is listen and obey to the ways of the Lord. If you can stay out of debt, if you can manage to do that, man, what a blessing it will bring. If you're in debt right now, and most of us in this room have some form of debt, right? If you're in debt right now, just say, okay, and draw a line at that point. We won't go any further. Work to get yourself out of debt. There's so much freedom that comes from that place. When we allow Jesus to turn that faucet and fill us up, what an overflow we receive. Right here, the overflow causes every area of our life to prosper. Not just your bank account, which is what prosperity has been defined as, but your marriage, your children, your workplace, your investments, your income, your land, the things you are, every part of your life will prosper as you allow Him to fill you and as you overflow Him. God promises that when we stay in covenant with Him, listen and obey and follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, we prosper in everything we do. Blessing number three, an overflow of health. How many of us need that right now? A touch of God in the realm of health. It says in 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Here's the thing, though. Just like the world and society sells us debt, society sells us sickness and disease, and then sells us medicine to mask that sickness and that disease. What do I mean by that? My wife said something that kind of struck me the other day. We're just driving, talking about the weather and that, and then suddenly she said, you know, Matt, most of the stuff we eat, you know, it's not really food. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Can you explain that? Yeah, most of the stuff that we eat is not really food. It's processed stuff. It's got chemicals in it. toxins in it, poisons in it, things that are not good for our body. And then sickness runs rife in our society. And then suddenly those that sell those non-foods online or on the TV with their adverts, you know, I'm not going to say any company names, but the fast food adverts are all over the TV, and those fast food sugary drinks all over the TV. The same networks that promote that will then give you 10 drug adverts to help cure you from the sickness they gave you. It's just a reality. Now, I know some of you are planning to go off and get your Big Mac and your extra large fries and your super large Slurpee, and you're going to down that thing like a bad boy. Oh, yeah, I'm going 2 Big Macs today because it's a double portion Sunday. But right here, there's a very precious and powerful overflow blessing for us to celebrate. God wants us to have an abundance of health in our physical bodies and in our soul as well. John teaches right here, he says, in all respects, God wants you to prosper in your health. And we know, we've heard it before, when Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just for our sins, it was also for our sickness. He carried our sickness, our disease, our depression, our anxiety, all of those things. He releases us from all of those burdens and bondages. And because of that, we can believe and expect to live in an overflow of healthy living. As we listen to his commands, his instructions for life, as we observe and follow and obey them, I believe we can expect health at every level. Let me just mention emotional health for a minute. It's kind of been a buzzword over the last few years, the whole thing about emotional health. And I've heard some preachers kind of dismiss it as trash and jargon and rubbish, and I've heard other preachers elevate it to a very high status. I believe when John said that you may prosper in all respects and be in good health, he was talking about our physical health, but also our emotional health and our spiritual health. But the key to emotional health, having good emotional health, is not me time. See, there's a kingdom response to things, and then there's the worldly response. And the worldly response focuses on me. And if all I'm about is me time and talking about me and what I've done, that's me showing that I'm responding in the way of the world. Emotional health comes when we have God time. When I put him on the throne of my time. When I take time to be with him in worship. Tali and I were talking just this week about the importance of the power of the presence of the Lord that comes through worship, right, baby? And it's so critical. So don't try and get your emotional health by escaping from your marriage or your friendship and having, I just need me time. No, you don't. You need some God time. You need some time with the Lord, maybe by yourself and the Lord, more than likely with others with the Lord. Emotional health is a real thing. Jesus wrestled with it before the cross. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cries out, he said, Lord, if this cup can be taken from me, it says he was sweating, as it were, drops of blood. There was an emotional challenge that Jesus faced right there. And his response, not my will, but your will be done, Father. That's a sign of emotional health. So anyway, I just wanted to mention, if you listen and obey, you will overflow with the things of God in your physical health, but also in your emotional health. I see a couple of you looking at your watches, so let's speed it up. Overflow blessing number 4 is an overflow of peace. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, it says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, true peace doesn't come just from a paid-off car, zero-debt credit card, a quiet front porch. All those things are good, but those things don't bring by themselves true peace. I remember Solomon said something very impacting to me. I'd had a bunch of meetings scheduled. I'd been out of the house for hours and hours. And when I got home, I opened the door, walked in, and Solomon says this, "Daddy, our home is so much peaceful when you and Mama are here." And you know, true peace comes from a true understanding that we have an Abba Father who is present. Peace isn't about having no problems. It's about knowing who is present when I have problems. Even this week, I've had challenges. For those of you who don't know, I work as a real estate agent. And this week, I've had some doozies, to coin us. I guess that's a southern phrase, because I'd never heard that in England. But you all know what I'm talking about, right? Anyone else had some doozies this week? Okay, there's a few nods and hands. I didn't. If you'd have asked me when I first moved here 20 years ago, "Hey, Matt, you got any doozies?" I'd be like, "Excuse me? Is it like a candy? What is that? What is a doozy?" But I had some doozies this week in my real estate business. Some troubles came to my clients and situations. And I was talking to Darlene about it. You know what she did? She didn't pat me on the back and say, "Oh, it's going to be, oh, there. Oh, it must be so terrible what you do. Oh, it's, oh, dear." She directed me to God's peace. And she prayed God's peace over me. And then when that happens, whatever happens in those situations, I can walk through them as a man of peace, not stressed, overwhelmed, and in strife. Amen? You see, true peace comes when we understand we have an Abba Father who really will take care of us. And when he's with us, when he's present in our lives, we can enjoy an overflow of peace. I believe that, for me personally anyway, peace is probably the greatest overflow that I want. Prosperity, all those things are good. Yeah, health, we want that as well. But I love peace. I love to walk around my front yard and just enjoy the peace of God. I love to sit in my home and sense and feel the peace of God. Whatever storm is raging, physically, business-wise, emotionally, whatever storm is raging, to be able to sit in the peace of God. The psalmist calls it living under the shelter of the shadow of his wing. That place of supernatural peace. That's an overflow that we can have when we're filled with him. We haven't been saved and called with a holy calling to walk in anxiety, stress, and worry about what's going on in our nation. You know, if you're stressed and worried about the United States of America, I got some advice for you. Turn off the TV. Every now and then, I will say, I had totally stopped watching the news about 5 years ago. Every now and then, I'll pop on and see what's happening. I give it about 60 seconds normally. I'm like, okay, nothing's changed. Turn it off. I will tell you, as an American citizen, I may not sound like it, but I am an American citizen. As an American citizen, I would watch the news and I would be so anxious for our country. But when you turn off the wrong faucet, the faucet of the world, you got to believe what we're telling you. This is happening. We're dividing this group against this group. This people, oh, it's terrible. They're going to be totally divided. Turn that trash off and give your time to him and his presence. I tell you, peace comes. Peace comes. God's going to take care of the United States of America, just like he'll take care of every other nation that will surrender to him. Some of you like the news a lot. I know. It's okay. I'm just telling you how I found, or one of the ways I found peace was to turn that opinion off and go to him. We're not to be in a place of worry or fret about what might occur tomorrow. We've been given the position to rest in the clear truth that God takes care of all of our needs. Amen. He will take care of our needs. If you can grasp that, you will live in an incredible overflow of peace. All right, you braced? Brace yourselves for impact. It's going down. I told you I was going to talk about tithing, right? I wrestled with this morning with the Lord. Not that I'm afraid to talk about tithing. I've preached on tithing many times. I love to preach on tithing. It's a beautiful thing. But I also know some people get really PO'd when you preach on tithing. But overflow blessing number 5 is an overflow of wealth. In Proverbs 10, it says this: it's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. And Deuteronomy 8:18 says this: you shall remember the Lord your God. It's he who gives you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. You see, God gives us the blessing to have wealth. And I'm talking now financial wealth. But here's the amazing thing about financial overflow. Abba Father says it's really not that difficult to achieve. The scripture says it's not that hard to achieve. I'm not talking about being multimillionaire, driving a gold Rolls Royce and being draped in expensive jewelry and Rolex watches. But the Bible says here it's the Lord that makes rich. The Lord gives you the power to make wealth. And one of the tools that God uses to release his financial blessing in your life, and don't look at me like that. I'm not talking about giving to get. I fight against that hand, tooth, and nail. I don't believe in that at all. However, the scripture is clear right here. God will use the tool of tithing in many ways, and one of those ways is to bring financial blessing into your life. Malachi 3 says this: bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. It's quite clear, isn't it? Oh, but that's old covenant, brother Matt. We can talk about that over coffee or something stronger if you need it. Bring the whole, because you might. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord God Almighty. Right here, Abba Father says, test him in something. He's basically daring us to tithe. Will you dare be a tither? Will you dare take 1/10 of your income and give that 1/10, that first tenth, into the storehouse? And by the way, the church is the nearest thing we have to a storehouse right now. Give the first tenth of our income and see what he does with it. And then this is what he says: and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room for you to store it. That's Abba Father's overflow, a kingdom overflow. When we tithe, God promises to provide in abundance. And all I can tell, I don't know your stories. All I know is mine and Darlene's story. When all we had, it was either, okay, we could tithe or we can buy food. We can tithe or we can pay this bill. If we tithe, that bill will not be met. Every time we chose to tithe, and I tell you what, apart from days when we fasted, our family's never gone hungry. And right now, the bills are paid. It does not make sense. Somebody once said to me, you know, Matt, God is a terrible, terrible accountant. Because the numbers never match up. But the kingdom is an upside-down kingdom anyway. It's more blessed to give than receive. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. The list goes on and on. The kingdom of God is upside down compared to the world. I want to encourage you, if you've been hurt, wounded by a church somewhere regarding finances, don't let that stop you from being a giver in this house. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And then watch God throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing there won't be room for it. He says, I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. Do you remember the grain we talked about a few moments ago? Those physical blessings. When you tithe, it's like a pest spray that gets sprayed on the devouring pests of your finances, and physical blessings come. He says, and the vines of your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe. Do you remember the wine? It spoke of the joy of the life, that emotional blessing. It comes when we're true and faithful with the tithe. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. Today, maybe you have a hard time with giving. Maybe you just don't like the word tithe. I can't do much about that. We're not allowed to erase things from the scriptures. People have tried and it hasn't gone well. But perhaps fear stops us. Fear of not having enough. Fear of being let down. Fear of a lack of control. Here's the deal about fear. Fear is the lying strategy of the enemy with one goal: to keep you from receiving the blessing of God. So I'm going to be bold and say, if you have not been giving your 10% tithe, and by the way, that's just the starting point. Again, I'm not here to teach solely on tithing, but when I do, the 10% is a starting point. There are many here that haven't been tithers for a year because you've gone for years, because you've gone beyond that. The tithe is the starting point. But if you haven't been giving a tithe into your storehouse, I want to encourage you today, do so. Because it is a key to sweet kingdom overflow in your life. Just a few weeks ago, Darlene and I were sitting on the front porch and we were just talking about God's blessings in our lives. And we had 100% agreement and clarity that a big portion of that is because we believe and live and operate in the realm of tithing. We invite Jesus to turn that faucet. And when he turns it, the overflow is heavenly. And if you can't fully, just do what you can do. Just take a chance. Test God in this. Exercise that faith muscle. And there are many other blessings of overflow. I just shared 5 with us this morning. But start with this. What happens this week when people bump into me? When situations bump into me? When problems bump into me? When challenges bump into me? Yeah, I can be a good boy for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. Say the right things, do the right things, act the right way, etc. But the rest of the week, what happens? Just watch yourself for a week. And if there's things that come out, if the overflow isn't that pretty, it's okay. Join the club of the other 100 people that are here. Because we all have those days, those seasons, those times. But it's an indicator. It'll show you what's in there. The beautiful thing is, what's in there can change in a moment. All you have to do is go to the Lord and say, here's my cup, Lord. Would you fill me up? I think I'm full of something else right now because that overflow wasn't very good. I think I'm full of something messy right now because when that happened, the overflow wasn't great. The overflow of my mouth, the overflow of my thinking, the overflow of my actions, it wasn't great. So Lord, forgive me. Would you come and fill me with you? Because I want to overflow who you are in every situation. Amen. I'm going to ask us to do one thing together, and that's to stand up. And maybe we could close our eyes as well. So if you don't need the week to test, if you say, you know what, I know my overflow's not great. It wasn't great this week. I don't need another week to test that. Well, on this Pentecost Sunday, as this room is relatively full, and now we're full of his presence and his word, let's ask the Lord to fill us fully with him so that we overflow him. If you want to respond to that, if you say, my overflow isn't great, no one's going to peek at you because we all closed our eyes because we're an obedient bunch. Just raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, my overflow hasn't been great this week, or sometimes my overflow is not great, but I want to overflow you. I choose to overflow you this week. And then I'm going to pray for us with our hands raised. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the filling of God. But even more, I thank you for the overflow that comes from the filling of God. And Lord, right now, as you fill us this morning on this beautiful Sunday morning, as we get filled with your word, filled with your presence, filled with who you are, filled with Holy Spirit. And we do pray, Holy Spirit, come fill us now. Those with hands raised, would you come fill us now? Fill us not just to the brim, but fill us that when we're bumped this day, this week, in this season, that we would overflow who you are. We'd overflow the things of the kingdom, not the things of the world. Thank you, Lord, for your filling. Just take a moment. I've prayed it for you, but ask for yourself. Just take a moment quietly to ask God to fill you with him. Because he'll do it. He loves to fill us up. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us that we might overflow. Overflow with you. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of overflow. I thank you for the overflow of provision, prosperity, health, peace, and financial blessing. Thank you for the overflow blessings that come as we're filled with you and as we overflow with you. We pray those blessings would touch many. Pray those blessings wouldn't just be kept in our own hands, but would touch many. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for overflow. Amen. I want to pray one more thing. I just want us to pray a blessing on John and Christine and their family as they're away. They're taking some R&R together. And you may not know how much they pour out every single week. Daily, but on a weekly. They just pour out for this church family. And so why don't we just pray a blessing on them. Father, I can't even remember exactly where they are, but we pray over John and Christine that you would come now and you would give them a special and fresh measure of your refreshment. Lord, vacations don't deal with everything, but sometimes being away and being together with you does a great deal. Lord, even now, would you come and fill them afresh? I pray you'd fill them to overflow. When they come back, let them overflow in this place, overflow in their family, overflow in everything they put their hand to. We honor them. We thank you for them. We bless them in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you have appointed and called them as pastors over this house, as those to serve and love the people of this house, and they do it so well. So we bless them, we thank you for them, we honor them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we say, let your refreshment come to them in these days. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you. Have an incredible week. And don't bump into too many people. Amen.